Please stand for the reading of the scripture. John 3:16 and 17, very familiar passages. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Be seated, please. I think spring has finally sprung, as they say. It was nice to see the flowers coming up. I think winter is now behind us. We had a nor'easter, as we all know. And now it's time to celebrate the beginning of a new life. As we see the flowers begin to bloom and the trees begin to bud. Spring is one of my favorite times of the year. So let's have a word of prayer and then we will begin. Lord, touch each one of us with your love. Enable us to hear your words of encouragement and your words of care. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The year was 1863. And there was a new cemetery that was going to be dedicated. And the people that organized the cemetery wanted to invite the world's greatest orator of the day, a man named Edward Everett. And then they wanted to fill the program up, and they decided to invite the president almost as an afterthought. So Abraham Lincoln traveled by train to Gettysburg. And on his way up, he began to form a message, trying to put into words what was happening to his people. When he got there, he sat on the platform, and Mr. Everett spoke for 2 hours about the dedication of the cemetery in Gettysburg. Then Abraham Lincoln got up to speak. He spoke for 2 minutes, 232 words that we're very familiar with. 47 years ago, our forefathers brought forth a nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, what's interesting about when he sat down after 2 minutes, Lincoln said to the person sitting next to him, he really didn't think that that was one of his better speeches. And several of the newspapers at the time probably agreed with that. But then, a few weeks later, Mr. Everett dropped Abraham Lincoln a message. He said it took him 2 minutes to say what it took him 2 hours to say. But we all know now that that speech is one of the greatest speeches ever given in American history. Children memorize it. I know when I was in the 8th grade, I had to memorize it. And people to this day still quote that famous first line. 47 years ago. Now, what Abraham Lincoln was trying to say was that there had been enough bloodshed. There had been enough violence. And now it was time to heal the nation. Now it was time to forgive those who had gone to war against us. It was time to bind up the nation's wounds. Abraham Lincoln at the time did not feel that his reelection was very promising. But the following year, he was reelected, and then he gave the shortest inaugural address ever given by an American president. And he uttered the famous line, with charity for all and malice towards none. And if you've ever been to the Lincoln Memorial, if you go in, it's on your right there, chiseled in stone. And then a month later, he would give another speech, and he would flip the pages, and his son Tad would pick them up as he flipped the pages. And he talked about full citizenship for the freed slaves that were now, because of the Emancipation Proclamation, were able now to become full citizens. The right to vote, the right to marry, the right to own a home, the right to start their own businesses, the right that all other Americans had enjoyed, he was now going to begin the process. John Wilkes Booth and his followers were sitting there listening to this speech. And Booth said to his followers, "That'll be the last speech you'll ever make." And I think we all know the rest of the story, don't we? Now, the passages that I read from John, probably one of the more famous passages in the Bible. It talks about a God who loves and cares for each one of us. Actually, 3:17 is my favorite passage of the two. "For God did not send the Son into the world that it might be condemned, but rather be saved." Now, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount would take it even farther. He would suggest something very radical for the day. He would suggest to love the people who despise us, to do good for those who persecute us, and to pray for those who despise us. Now, of all the teachings that Jesus left us, I think this is the most difficult one. I think if you ignore a human response to when somebody dislikes us or does bad things to us, the immediate response usually is to return in kind. Jesus tells us not to do that. And he would follow that example as he was nailed to the cross. And those famous words that he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And even as he was feeling the nails and was going to be hoisted up, he was filled with compassion and love for those around him. What is our response to Jesus' teaching? Very difficult, to say the least, to love somebody who doesn't like us. But there's an old saying that says that when you seek revenge, we dig two graves, one for ourselves and one for the person we don't like. Forgiving those that have hurt us can help us heal and move on. Now, many times when we look at our own lives, the most difficult person we have to forgive is ourselves. When we think about the wrongs that we have done, and God's love is there for us to tell us, not only can we be healed, but it's time to move on. Holy things inside of us can cause all kinds of problems. Can cause us to have difficulty with our health, the difficulty with interpersonal relationships, the difficulty with how we see the world. Alcoholics Anonymous calls renting space in your head for all the people that have hurt you as you repeat that over and over and over again. The old saying is as you're going around despising those who dislike you, they're out having fun and dancing because they could care less. So Jesus encourages us to forgive in order for us to have a better life, in order for us to move on with our life. I was very moved by the words of the children as they said, "Take time for Jesus." Very, very important. Jesus gave us a tremendous tool as we look at the people who don't like us, the people that we feel angry at. The idea is that he gave us a great avenue of prayer. That we can go to God anytime, any place, anywhere. God doesn't have office hours where he's only available at certain times during the day. But rather, he's available to any time we need him to talk. Now, I traveled to Europe a number of years ago, and one of the things I wanted to see was Anne Frank's house, Anne Frank's hideaway, the attic that she and her parents, her sister, and several of her father's friends all hid. And the tour book warned us about this when we went to the Anne Frank hideaway. It said that this could be terribly frustrating. And I certainly found that as I went in there and I saw the places where they hid and all the memories. If you've read the diary of Anne Frank, she described the church bells and all the things that are there. And all that came back to me as I looked at all these places. And then one of the frustrating parts was there was a map on the wall and they put it under glass. As his families were tracking the Allies as they were coming near to Amsterdam. And right before it gets to Amsterdam, the line stops. Now, I don't think anybody here could blame the Frank family for despising the people who were doing this. But if you've ever read the book, The Diary of Anne Frank, she talks in there about her feelings about the world. And she writes right before she's captured, "Dear Kitty," she says, "I still feel that people are basically good, and that there's great love in the world. And this is tremendous insight for someone that's 15 years old. So, as you face life, as you face difficulties, do you carry grudges around inside of you? It'll zap your strength. It'll zap your love. It'll zap everything and take everything away from you. You may need to talk to a counselor, or you may need to go in prayer to God and continue to pray until all those things are gone, until all those things are resolved. Now, if you ever saw the movie Tuesdays with Maury, where one of his students would fly out and be with this very learned man who was slowly dying of muscular dystrophy. And one of the things that he says to his middle-aged student, he says, right at the end of your life, forgive everything and forgive everybody of everything. And the goal is very simple, so that you can have peace, so you can have love, so you can have a good life. So as you think about your feelings about the people you don't like, try to replace them with love. Try to understand where they were coming from. Try to understand that they can become mentors for you. I know many of the bad experiences I've had in life, one of the questions I ask myself is, what can I learn? What can I understand from this? And many of the people who dislike me and who tried to do bad to me now become mentors to me, because I can understand where they're coming from and try to love them and forgive them and to move on with life. Now, I don't think Jesus ever wanted us to be abused. Many times this is an abusive relationship, for example. These words could be taken, well, you need to take the abuse. I don't think Jesus ever meant that. Rather, we can still love them. We may need to separate ourselves from it, but we still can love the people who do not like us. Now, Martin Luther King Jr.'s father, they called him Daddy King. He lost two of his family through assassination. He lost his son, which we're all familiar with, but he also lost his wife. She was playing in the church one day, and a madman came in and slayed her, pulled a pistol out and assassinated her right in front of the congregation. Daddy King's response to all of this was to say not to hate these people, but rather to try to love them, try to forgive them, and try to move on with your life. And if you remember the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King would say that we refuse to hate these people. They're going to turn police dogs on us. They're going to put us on hoses. But rather, we're going to try to love them. We're going to be nonviolent to them, to try to help them understand that what we have, we want our individual rights just like anybody else has. And the civil rights movement was a tremendous success. And many laws were changed, and African Americans now, I think, more integrated in our society than they've ever felt since the United States was founded. Now, I'm going to close with a story. And this is one of my favorite stories, and I don't like to read things to you all. But this is an opportunity that I have that I want to get this whole story. And it talks about two men in a hospital. Perhaps you've heard this. Two men, both seriously ill, occupied the same hospital room. One man was allowed to sit up in his bed for an hour each afternoon to drain the fluid from his lungs. The bed next to the room's only window. The other man had to spend all time flat on his back. The men talked for hours on end. They spoke of their wives and their families, their homes, their children, their jobs, their involvement in the military service, and where they had been on vacation. Every afternoon when the man in the bed by the window would sit up, he would pass the time by describing to his roommate the image that he saw outside the window. The man in the other bed began to live for these moments, these one-hour periods, when the world would be broadened and enlivened by all the activity and color of the world outside. The window overlooked a park with lovely lake. Ducks and swans played with each other while children sailed their model boats. Young lovers seemed to walk arm in arm amid the flowers, and every color in the fine view of the city skyline could be seen in the distance. As the man in the window described all this in exquisite details, the man on the other side of the room would close his eyes and imagine the picturesque scenes. One warm afternoon, the man by the window described the parade passing by. Although the other man could not hear the band, he could see in his mind's eyes the gentleman by his the window portrayed it with all descriptive words. Days and weeks and months passed. One morning, the day nurse arrived to bring water for the bath, only to find the lifeless body of the man by the window, who had died peacefully in his sleep. She was saddened and called the hospital attendants to take the body away. And soon, it seemed appropriate, the other man requested that he now be moved to the window by the bed, the bed by the window. And the nurse was happy, and she moved him to the bed. And then as he sat in his bed, he painfully looked to his right to see if he could see the window that the man described. But all he saw was a blank wall. The man asked the nurse who had compelled the deceased roommate and described each wonderful things outside this window. The nurse responded that the man was blind and he could not even see. She said, "Perhaps he just wanted to encourage you." The epilogue: there is tremendous happiness in making things others happy. Despite our own situations, shared grief is half the sorrow, but happiness when shared is double. If you want to feel rich, just count all the things you have that money can't buy. Today is a gift, and that is why it's called the present. Now, no one knows who really wrote that story, but it's one of my favorites. As we look at our life as Christians, that's what we're about. You see, if we haven't forgiven others, if we haven't forgiven ourselves, that kind of ministry becomes difficult, if not impossible. So let us leave today with the idea that we not only will we forgive, but we will love one another as Jesus has loved us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.